G'day there, folks. My name is Paul. Hello and welcome. Welcome back, perhaps. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me today. Well, yes, it is that time of month again, men's breakfast time. Every month on the calendar here in my local church, my favorite time where all of us guys, we come together for a beautiful barbecue feast. We get to eat all of that great food that our wives love us eating so much, I'm sure. But more importantly, fellowship. And we get that fellowship. Men coming together, helping men, encouraging men, lifting up, strengthening men in their faith. And that's the whole point of the men's breakfast. We also get to hear, of course, a message from the Word, that beautiful thing, the Bible, the bread of life, it's called. And it is my honor and an incredible blessing to be able to share and bring that message, which I'm looking at doing here today. If you haven't joined us before, I do this on video also, so that it's a recap perhaps for those who were there, and then it's a catch up for those who couldn't make it, work commitments and so on. We understand. And today I think we'll start in John chapter 1. Now, if you would open your Bible, please turn to John chapter 1. We're going about halfway through. We'll pick the story up, and perhaps with a pen, with some paper, maybe take a few notes along the way. Rather than just give you the topic up front today, I would like it to be revealed to you as we read through Scripture, and I'll give a few thoughts and a few notes and share some testimony, some of my own, also some that has been shared with me along the way. And I pray then the Holy Spirit would open your heart to reveal and see what we're talking about, what we're looking at today. So let's pick it up from verse 35. Quick context. This is the day after Jesus was baptized. And we see here the next day, verse 35 of John chapter 1. John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And we will learn as we read through Scripture, this is Andrew. And most likely, most scholars would agree, it's also John, meaning John who wrote the Gospel of John. And also pen those beautiful words we see, the prophetic therein in Revelation as well. So John the Baptist stands with two of his disciples, and seeing Jesus who is walking, he, John the Baptist, says to his disciples, "Behold, look," he says, "the Lamb of God." Obviously John the Baptist, he has insider knowledge. The previous day, the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus, he knows this is Messiah. He knows. And these two disciples, they heard him speak, they heard him say this, and they started walking then towards Jesus. Because John the Baptist was always pointing people towards he who was to come, Messiah, Jesus. And verse 38, Jesus turns, sees them following, and says, I like this, "What do you seek?" Notice he doesn't say, "What do you want? You're following me. What do you want?" No, "What do you seek?" And one of the things that I have learned in the years that I've been following the Lord and have at times often shared the gospel, those who might respond well, favorably, always seeking, always looking for something. Often they don't even know what it is. It's like I heard it once explained, just that missing piece, like a hole in my heart. In Christendom, we would say the Jesus-shaped hole. Yeah, but what do you seek? It's a good question. Jesus doesn't say, "What do you want from this world?" But what are you after? What's missing in here? And let me just pause one moment here. I want to share just the start. We'll come to the end later, but the beginning of a testimony. Now, this testimony, two gentlemen, they told it to me, and it's got to be 30-something years ago that they told me this story, the two of them on a beach. And I remember it because it showed so clearly the work of the Holy Spirit, and for me being a young Christian when they told me this story, that resonated with me and I understood. But the story goes, the testimony, these two gentlemen, young guys, well, compared to me, early 20s or mid-20s, somewhere thereabouts. And this is on the south coast of New South Wales. They've gone to a church camp over that sort of Christmas, New Year's period. And in this time, every night at this camp, their church and various other churches as well, they would have a concert. It was part of the outreach that they would sort of reach out in that local community. And so you've got these two guys now, they're gone down to the beach one afternoon, and this is the part that I want to highlight to you right now. I don't know how many people are on the beach, probably 50, 100 or more. And it's not a big beach, it's, you know, 300, 400, 500 meters, something like that. But these two guys, they're at one end of the beach, let's say, I don't know, the southern side. They're down the south side of this beach, and at the same moment, the Holy Spirit speaks to both of them and says, him, pointing out some other guy on the far side of the beach, go and talk to him. And they looked at each other. And I know this to be fact because they told it to me. They looked at each other and went, you looking at that guy over there on the rocks? Yeah. Him? Yeah. I love that. We see here, Jesus turned and saw those two followers of John. What do you seek? The Holy Spirit in these two gentlemen on the beach. Go and talk to him. He's seeking something. He's seeking me. And so they did. They were obedient. They went to all the way through everybody else on that beach and went and witnessed to that young guy. And they invited him to the concert they had that night. They said, look, just come and see. Just come and check it out. Come and have a look. And the story goes, beautiful, that young fellow, he went to that concert that night and he gave his life to the Lord. Now, I know that because that was me. That was me. I was that young fellow on that far end of that beach. And I'll tell you the rest of that story as we come towards the end because, oh, there was so much more to it happening in here that these guys didn't even know about, but God did. And we see here, Jesus turns and looks at them, though I suspect he certainly saw them before that moment, yeah? What do you seek? And they didn't know how to answer. They said, oh, Rabbi, which is to say teacher, where are you staying? What kind of answer is that? What do you seek? Where are you staying? Well, I don't think that's what they were seeking. I think that's all they could come up with. And he says to them, come and see. So they came and they saw where he was staying, verse 39. And then they remained with him for that whole day because then it was about the 10th hour. So it's getting late in the day in Hebrew terminology. This is about 4 p.m., somewhere thereabouts. Scholars argue, 4 p.m., 10 a.m., Greek time, who knows, who cares, does not matter. Either way, spent the rest of the day with the Lord. I would love to have been a fly on the wall. Imagine what questions you would have when the Messiah, Jesus, gets that opportunity to reveal himself to you. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Do you have that in your life, perhaps? I did growing up as a young fellow. My sister, Yvette, beautiful, beautiful lady, incredible, talented musically like you wouldn't believe, and we'd go to a concert. Oh, you're Yvette's brother. My mother. Oh, you're Yvette's mother. We don't see, though we do, too much of Andrew, but one of the things that we do see of Andrew, he's always bringing people to the Lord, just a side note. And what's the first thing then that Andrew does? Verse 41. He first found his own brother, Simon, said to him, bro, we found him, the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. When Jesus looks at someone, we see here in Scripture this meaningful look, to look, not just to see, but to look into. And I can imagine Jesus would have just looked at him and gone, I see what's coming, Peter. He speaks of his name, which will be changed prophetically to be a stone instead of son of Jonah. Not such a good name. Names were very important to those of Israel. And it's an odd way to greet a man, really, when you think about it. And in Scripture, I think this is worthwhile just noting out, if you're taking notes, we see two accounts of Peter coming to Jesus, don't we? We see this one, and then we, of course, see the other, which is in Luke chapter 5, I think, where the boat and the fish and the miracle of the net, and Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. Some scholars will say that these are two events. I don't think so. Looking at locations, they say they are one event. I think they are possibly two events, you know, perhaps a week or three or five apart. It doesn't really matter. But for the sake of the story, two events, weeks apart. Jesus sees him here, looks into him, prophesies about him, gives this curious greeting about his name being changed, and Peter's like walking away going, what just happened? And then at a later time, when Jesus comes and steps into the boat, then conviction comes. And I make note of that because sometimes, for us, we're not like it was for me. I was witness to then that evening, that afternoon, I gave my life to the Lord. No, it's not like that for some. For others, there's time that takes place, and the conviction of Christ has to grow in our hearts. Yes, that's okay. And at a later time, Peter actually wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says that we are always to be ready. We are always be ready to give offense, to give a defense, a reason to everyone who asks for the reason that is of the hope which is in us. We're to do so with meekness and with fear and having a good conscience. And these two fellows who witnessed to me on that beach. Yes, I don't remember much of the conversation, but they gave me hope that just going to that concert. Come and see, they said. And here's the thing. I find that there are two things. Two things that we often struggle with when it comes to witnessing. And the first thing is, what if we say the wrong thing? The second thing is, what if they have difficult questions and I can't answer them? I like the answer here. We are to give the reason for the hope that is in us. It's our story. It's our testimony. It's not, what do you want? It's, what do you seek? Let me tell you what God has done for me. We do so with meekness and with fear and having a good conscience. We just tell the truth. There is no the wrong thing when we tell the truth. And then like Andrew, we just bring them to Jesus. I guess we are to be, I have a note here, Luke chapter 8. The man released, freed from the demons, and Jesus just says, now return to your house. Tell them what great things God has done. So Andrew doesn't deliver a lecture here. Andrew doesn't try and convert his brother here. He simply invites him. Come and see. Come and have a look. And oh boy, that changes everything. Doesn't it? Now I make mention of this because we have coming up soon our Christmas concert. Yes. Come and see. It's a good thing. Come see. I mean, if I'm having a barbecue, I'm going to invite my brother. I'm going to invite my friends. I'm going to invite my family. If I find a good fishing spot, which I used to do, hey, come and see. Come and check this out. Bring your gear. The point being very, very simple. If I'll share a seat at the game with a friend or a brother, surely I can share a seat at church, at a concert. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 43. The following day, Jesus says, obviously he wants to go to now Galilee. Now Galilee was a few days walk, three, 4 days walk further north from where John the Baptist was baptizing. And along the way, it says that he found Philip. Now, I've got to pause there also. This is something for notes. Just circle. He found Philip. When we see this in Scripture, it's easy for us just to walk over it. To skip straight through. He found him. What, did he trip over him? Was it accidental? Oh, look, there's Philip. No. It's not that he just found him. He was, what? He was looking for him. Those two men on the beach, they didn't just find me. They were sent and they were looking for me. Him, the Holy Spirit said. And Jesus says to Philip, follow me. And he then, like me, not waiting this time, days, weeks, months, for that conviction to take place. He just, yes, absolutely. And it says that Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So we can see now where they're walking. And I do like the little clues that are dropped in Scripture that help make it more alive. So we're going from the Jordan. We're heading north towards Galilee, up the Jordan Valley. And most scholars would believe, which is why it's written here, perhaps that Bethsaida was the city of Andrew and Peter. This is their hometown. But we also know from Scripture later on they're in Capernaum. And in amongst all of that, Peter's mother-in-law, now they're on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And then along the way, here it is again, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael. Whoops, hello, Nathanael, I just found you. No, not found, was sent. Understand that little bit of that crucial difference. And Philip says to him, Nathanael, we found him. We found him of whom Moses in the law and all through the prophets, they wrote, Jesus is Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found the Messiah. Now, Nathanael, as we will learn, like every good Jewish boy, he's been brought up on the law and he's been brought up on the prophets. And he knows that all of these things that they point towards Messiah, he also knows that Messiah wasn't from Nazareth. Well, at least not in Scripture. He didn't know at this point of time that Jesus was born in the city of David in Bethlehem. Which explains very clearly why Nathanael answers Philip with, what? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That'd be like us going, what? Can anything good come from... And I'm not going to say, you can just put your own state or city or town or whatever in there. But hey, can anything good come from whoop whoop? This is so far past the black stump. I mean, this is Galilee and this is Nazareth. Nazareth didn't even have a pedigree. Nazareth was nothing, a rocky outcrop, not even mentioned in Old Testament Scripture. And Galilee, oh boy, you know, Galilee of the Gentiles we see from Scripture. So Nazareth, oh, this is a slight which we see time and time again in Scripture. So what does Philip do? Argues, quotes Scripture, opens up the law and the prophets. No, bro, it's the Messiah. Come and see. Just come and see. I love this. No persuasion, no clever words, no pushback. Just come. Come on, man. Come and see. And this is my primary point right here, right now, for the morning. Our job is to invite people to come and see. His job, the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict and to convert. Only God the Father can do that. Because he dwells outside of time. He sees them. He sees their end from their beginning. And he works within it to bring them to him. He alone sees the depths of the man's heart, and he knows when is the right time and right season for his grace to break through. We can't see that. Our job, come and see. And so in saying that, I just say to you also, do not think that there is anything that you can do that can add to the conversion and the conviction of the man or woman to whom you are witnessing. Don't think that, oh, we've got the best lights, oh, we've got the best stage, we've got the best music. No, Christ and Christ alone convicts. And I think of Lydia, the dealer of purple cloth, Acts chapter 16. She's listening. Paul is preaching. And it says, God opened her heart to hear, to understand the things which were spoken of by Paul. And just here also, we'll see this because Jesus, now seeing Nathanael, who comes towards him and says, behold, look, guys, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Meaning simply, this guy's a straight shooter. Actually, this guy is probably one of those guys that we get irritated by because he just says it as it is. So Jesus does the same. But he does it. Not us. Not Philip. Jesus does it. Nathanael recognizes this and goes, what? Do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, oh, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And here it is. Here it is. Here's that moment. Philip brings him. Our job, bring the people to meet Jesus. His job, to reach into their hearts and take hold. And in this moment, we see so much of that work of Christ revealed. Nathanael answers, says to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And I hope for you, as I remember for me, that we have that moment, that we have that encounter, that we have that time where we recognize the man Jesus for who he is, the living God. God himself in human flesh. And Jesus here just doubles down and says, oh, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Oh, you will see greater things than these. And he says to him, assuredly, I say to you, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Where have we seen that before? He would have recognized that instantly. Nathanael going, Jacob's ladder. We see that in Genesis 12. Jacob dreams of this ladder to heaven and sees the angels walking up and down. And now Jesus identifies himself as that ladder, as that bridge between heaven and earth, by means of which... Here's the thing. Not every question needs an argument. We don't need to get out the scriptures and go through them. Sometimes those who doubt, they just need a quiet invitation. And then we pray for them. We let the Spirit do the work. Philip moves Nathanael from bias to invitation, to meeting. Maybe there's someone in your life who might fit in with that. Someone who's got the bias, but you can just invite them and then pray for them and let the Spirit do the work. You know, hey, I'd like you to come see what Jesus is doing. Come sit with me this Sunday. Really? But God, but Christians, but this, look, just come and see. It's up to God. Turn, if you would, let's finish up. Matthew 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. I want to show you now how we move from come and see to go and tell. Now, after the Sabbath, verse 1, as the first day of the week began to dawn, and this is why we worship on a Sunday, the first day of the week being a Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, probably Mary, mother of James, mentioned back a few other verses. They came to see the tomb. Now they're grieving. Oh, I can't imagine the hurt in their hearts at this time. And behold, verse 2, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Just sitting. His countenance was like lightning, his clothes as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him, and they'd become like dead men. So this is the scene that they arrive to. And the angel, this is curious, again, a little clue here. The angel answered and said to the women, hang on, here's the clue. He answered. What was the question? Behold the open tomb. We all really do have that question, don't we? When we walk in those doors, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Did he really? That's the question. Well, here's the answer. Don't be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen as he said. Come and see. The place where the Lord lay. Go quickly, tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and you will see him. Behold, look, I have told you. Just days before, they had seen him brutally nailed to a cross. Just days before, they had seen him die upon that cross. Just days before, they had watched as his body was laid in the tomb. Now, it's empty. Come and see. For those of us who have seen that empty tomb, we need to then become messengers. For those of us who have seen and meet the risen Jesus, as they did a short time later, we are then to become messengers, heralds, if you would, of this truth. Folks, I know you know this, but let me just say this. We do not worship a God who is dead. No. Not a God who is lifeless, not a God who is powerless, not a stone, a statue. We worship the living God. The living God, he who was and is to come. We invite. God opens the heart. Remember Luke 24? Speaking of the disciples, Jesus says, this is now the resurrected Jesus, says he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He can do the same for you if it hasn't happened yet. Pray, God, help me to understand the scriptures. Acts 11. In Acts 14, we see the thing, the Antioch report, where God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. God opening the door. Matthew 16, Peter, Jesus says, who do they say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Come on, can you see the point now? I say it again and I say it again. Only he can reveal himself into the hearts of men. We invite. God opens the heart. And we have a Christmas event coming up. It's a perfect Sunday morning. Truly, it is the perfect Sunday morning to invite friends or family. Use it as an outreach. Hey, our Christmas event is coming up in 5 weeks. Come and see. I'll save you a seat. I'll meet you out the front. And for me, when I got invited to that concert, I got to say, it was the most horribly pathetic, poorly put together concert I think I'd seen in my life. Now, if you know anything of me, that's not being judgmental. I worked in the theatre. I was a professional performer. I had already travelled the world at that time on the stage. And these guys They said to me, come, see. What they didn't know was that for months before I had been on my knees praying out to God, whoever he was, help. My life is a mess. Help. I was seeking him and help. And so when the Holy Spirit sent them, because he already saw my end from my beginning and the work in between. He saw every horrible mistake that I'd ever made, every terrible deed I ever done, and he still sent people because he saw me, not just there in that moment, but all the way through to eternity. And they said to me, come and see. And I went to this concert and I just sat there going, this is crap. But why? God, why am I here? And I got on my knees that night. I said, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he did. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues that night. And the next day, as they showed me in Scripture that I also should be baptized, this step of obedience and faith, I was. Did I get it right from that day on? Oh, my, no. But he's been with me every step of the way, even when I walked away, because he saw my end from its beginning. And that great, glorious work which he would then do, and I pray he will now do for you. So when he sends us, we just need to say to folks, come and see. That's the message. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. God bless. I pray a beautiful, wonderful, blessed week and the month ahead and the year ahead and so on. Seek after him. Seek first that kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things. Bye-bye.